الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. All praises to Allah, the creator of the universes and their sustainer, the provider of believers and unbelievers. And may his choicest blessings be on the seal of his prophets, the last of his messengers and his holy progeny. And in particular, may his special blessings ever continue to flow on that fifth member of the household of the Prophet, on Sayyid al-Shuhada, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Tonight I propose to discuss, as I set out in our first sitting on Sunday night, a criticism that is made against Shias, that all this matter about Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a political event and has no religious significance at all. And in particular, the meal that the Shias make about the turba of Karbala, that when in following with the practice of the Holy Prophet we make our sajda, our prostration on earth, we choose the earth of Karbala. And the significance of that earth, although I hope to come back to that on Laylatul Ashura, all this is but a Shiite exaggeration. And I thought it may be pertinent when we are discussing and having a study on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that this matter be touched on. This will be the last of the preliminaries that I hope to deal with. And tomorrow, inshallah, for 5 nights, I hope then to embark on the actual events that led to the martyrdom and the significance of each step that Imam Hussein alayhi salam took, because each of his steps was a deliberate step, was a calculated step with consequences. We deal with these and we hear about these peripherally. I say peripherally because most of the time we hear about these as matters of some aside, as matters to grieve upon, and we do not give time to reflect upon them. Hence yesterday I took some time to reflect upon some of these couplets, beautiful as they were. Time, of course, was against us last night, as I suppose it always is, because time and tide wait for no man. But one important thing that in the process I omitted to remind you of, that was that couplet of his, رِضًا بِقَضَائِهِ وَتَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِهِ, is a couplet you recite on the day of Ashura 7 times as you move forward and backward. And you do that because those were the words he recited as he carried the body of Shahzada Ali Azhar to his mother. He couldn't get to her. He would go forward and come back. That is the event we relive, as it were. That was the time, you can see, to him as severe as the time of his own martyrdom. And that is when he repeated that couplet too, but not as fully as we examined it last night, being the couplet that he recited immediately before his martyrdom. Each step, as I say, of Imam Hussein alayhi salam had its meaning. We hope to take time. As I said the first night, I was hoping to divide these discussions into two. Preliminaries, 5 nights. The event itself, 5 nights, because it is a long event. It was a long journey from Medina right up to Karbala. And at each station, there was a lesson to be learned. But let us examine this criticism for tonight. That is this all a fabrication? Has it no religious significance? Well, it will have religious significance if it is a matter that has come to us through the Holy Prophet. If it is a matter that came to us from worldly sources, pure history, of course it would have no religious significance. But let us examine the matter not now from Shiite sources, because it is futile to answer a criticism against Shi'i concepts and Shi'i thought from Shi'i authorities. Let us see what the Sunnite authorities leading authorities on this Sunnite work say about these things. And I wish to start with that leading work which we have always referred to of Ibn Asakir in his work Tarjuma Imam Hussein alayhi salam min tariq Madinati Damashq. And it is at page 142 of that work that Ibn Asakir mentions a leading hadith, and this is why I want to start with it, because that hadith comes from Fadl. Now Fadl is a lady accepted by all Muslims without any discrimination as being an authentic, reliable reporter, and sanad from her is regarded as authentic. And Fadl, by the way, for the benefit of the youths, I must say who she was the wife of Abbas, Hazrat Abbas, the uncle of the Holy Prophet. Well, she says that she once saw a dream. She was terrified by that dream. So terrified that she couldn't sleep the rest of the night. The next morning, her first opportunity, she comes to the Holy Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I saw a dream last night which has terrified me. Very strange dream. So the Holy Prophet says, but what about that dream? Why did it terrify you? She says, I'm having problems even to say it to you. And the Holy Prophet said, look, say it out to me. Maybe I'll tell you what the dream is all about. And she says, I'm sure you will. Shakingly, she says, I saw that a part of your body is cut. And that part of the body that is cut falls on my laps. And I receive it on your laps. I find it terrible that a part of your body should be cut like that and I should receive it. What is all this about, Ya Rasulullah? And the Holy Prophet says, Fadl, do not be terrified. This is good news for you in a way, because it is news that part of my body, that is my beloved daughter Fatima salamullahi alayha, will have a child, and that son will be Hussein, will be called Hussein. And when that son will be born, the son will be brought into your laps, and you will receive the son in your laps. And that is all that hadith says. That is all that dream says. Fadl was relieved. She says, in due course, Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha did in fact deliver a son, the second son. And he was named Hussein, and the son, she says, was delivered in my laps. And I could see that dream of mine came true. Not, she says, that I had any doubt. Because the dream, the tadbir, the meaning of that dream was given by the Holy Prophet himself. And she says, on another occasion, when I was with Bibi Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha, I had Hussein in my laps. And I took the occasion and the liberty to carry Hussein myself as an honor to the Holy Prophet. And I did so. And I presented the Holy Prophet with this newly born baby, saying, O Messenger of Allah, that dream that terrified me and you explained has come so true. I had Hussein in my laps when he was born, and tonight I have him in his laps, and I thought, the best way to thank you for clarifying that dream for me and making this possible, that this illustrious son should be in my lap, is to bring him to you with my hands so that you receive him from me. And the Holy Prophet received or saying, now this is a newly born child. I have said something like this on the first eve, and I will remind you in 5 minutes or so. But the significance of telling you this is that it comes from Ibn Asakir. How dare anybody say this now is an exaggeration of the shears or a concoction of the shears. And I will give you more and more of these as time permits, so that our youth is armed with an answer to this particular allegation. But it also not only shows the fadail of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but the significance of his martyrdom and significance of some of the concepts which we hold very dear to us. When the Holy Prophet receives Imam Hussein alayhi salam, from the hands of Ummul Fadl. In no time he starts weeping. Tears flow from his eyes. On Sunday night I say something like this. On the hadith of Asma bint Umaysh, you remember? But that hadith I told you on the authority of Sheikh Tawus. I beg your pardon, Sheikh Tusi. It is on the authority of Sheikh Tusi that I said that particular hadith. Tonight I am saying it from Ibn Asakir, the Sunnite source. I pause to say this because the Holy Prophet wept. Tears flowed from his eyes. When we come to discuss when we shall come, inshallah, to discuss the sixth Imam alayhi salam, possibly we might even discuss this on Shabbat Ashur, but time permitting, the hadith from the sixth Imam alayhi salam is, he was asked, how much should we weep on Hussein alayhi salam? This thawab for weeping on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, how much does one need to weep? And he says, well, enough that it is as much as the wing of an insect, but the true meaning of weeping is weeping, the sixth Imam says, so much that the tears flow down the cheeks. That is the definition given by the sixth Imam alayhi salam, the tears must reach the cheeks. That is how Ummul Fadl says, as reported by Ibn Asakir, the Holy Prophet wept. And when Ummul Fadl sees this, says, Ya Rasulullah, you're weeping as I wept when I saw the dream. Have you seen a dream? Why are you weeping like this? What else could Ummul Fadl think of? And the Holy Prophet says, Ummul Fadl, I am weeping because Jibreel has come to me and has told me that people from my Ummah, people claiming to be members of my Ummah, will kill this beloved son of mine in due course when I will not be there, nor will Ali or Fatima or Hassan, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. Ummul Fadl says, hearing that, I instantly wept. And I wept aloud, and the Holy Prophet wept. We both wept until we sobbed and we got consoled. Does anyone still dare tell us that when we sit in these majalises to weep on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that is bid'ah? Because bid'ah is an innovation. Bid'ah is something new created in the religion. And one thing that is definitely not bid'ah is something done by the Holy Prophet himself. This is a step taken by the Holy Prophet immediately on the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that he wept only thinking about, only envisaging, only contemplating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. How much stronger would that sunnah be after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after the event has occurred? And this hadith is cited in all authorities unanimously. But then, that is Ibn Asakir. The second authority I want to cite you is Khwarizmi. In Maqtam al-Hussein, Khwarizmi says that the Holy Prophet was sitting to receive a revelation, but Jibreel did not come down on that occasion. An angel came down, who comes down only on very rare and special occasions. When a special message from Allah is to be delivered to a messenger of Allah or a prophet of Allah, that angel descends to earth. That angel, the Holy Prophet says, suddenly appeared and salutes the Holy Prophet. That angel was sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell the Holy Prophet about the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And when Allah ordered him to do so, he turns around to Allah. One is shocked to read about this. I'm sure you'll be shocked to hear this. He turns to Allah and says, Oh Allah, I dare not disobey your command. But I don't have the lips, I don't have the tongue to go and convey such a message to the Holy Prophet. I just don't have that courage. I don't have that strength to do so. And Allah says, this is my command. The angel says, well, then it must be obeyed. He comes down. greets the Holy Prophet, brings the salams of Allah to the Holy Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I have a message I can hardly convey. And I'm only conveying, and pardon me for conveying this message to you, I'm conveying it, and this is all set out in Khwarizm is Maqtal al-Husayn. I'm only conveying this message because I am under express command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I cannot disobey. The Holy Prophet says, no, do not hesitate. Fulfill the command of Allah. I need to know whatever knowledge Allah wishes to bestow on me. And the angel says, I have the sad news from Allah that people claiming to be people belonging in your ummah will one day murder your son Hussein. And the Holy Prophet says he wept. But having wept, he immediately turns to this angel and asks him, what significant words in this leading Sunni authority? What will be the name of this person who will kill Hussein alayhi salam? And the angel says his name will be Yazid. Express name given, his name will be Yazid. And Ya, O Messenger of Allah, Allah will see to it that you do not make shafa'ah, you do not intercede on behalf of Yazid or anybody who acted with Yazid willingly, unwillingly, directly or indirectly in the assassination of your grandson Hussein. And the Holy Prophet came to the mosque in Medina and in the khutbah of that day reproduced this particular event to the Muslims of the time. This is reported by Khwarizm. Two important things of significance flowing from this hadith. One is that the person is named long before Yazid was born. Muawiyah, that is Yazid's father, and Abu Sufyan were not even Muslims at the time. They were still in Mecca worshipping idols. And at that time Yazid's name was given. And I will come to Ibn Sa'd, inshallah, before time is completed for tonight. Yazid's name is given by the angel to the Holy Prophet, reported in Sunni source. So we know exactly the identity of the person. I say this is important because you might remember that in 1997, talking of that journey from Karbala to Damascus, I said that even when all the event was over and the fourth Imam al-Islam was called to the court of Yazid, and Yazid says, Yabda Rasulullah, I want to release the entire family of Imam Hussein al-Islam, and pardon me for this, I seek your forgiveness for this. But remember, I never wanted to kill your father. I am not his killer. So immediately Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam asks Yazid, oh Yazid, who then was the killer? If you were not, who then was? He was ultimately responsible. Indeed, I say he was not ultimately responsible, he was primarily responsible because the command was his. The first order was his. He says, it is Ubaydullah ibn Yazid who killed him. And the fourth Imam alayhi salam turns around and says, but wasn't it on your command? And didn't Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad bring the head of my father into your court at which I was present? And Yazid shut up. But you can see that knowing this excuse would be brought forward, the Holy Prophet even asked for the name and the angel gave the name, it would be Yazid. But more significantly than that, from that hadith, he says, Allah says, you will not intercede. You will not intercede on behalf of Yazid or anybody in that group of Yazid who directly or indirectly was involved in the killing of Imam Hussein. وَشَايَعَتْ وَبَايَعَتْ وَتَابَعَتْ عَلَىٰ قَتْلِهِ اللَّهُمَّ الْعَنْهُمْ جَمِيعًا. Those words of the sixth Imam and the fifth Imam alayhi salam, and the sixth Imam alayhi salam of course, derived from that particular hadith. There are those Muslims who, in good hope, even if it is an entirely false hope, turn around and say, oh yes, but the Holy Prophet is so charitable, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is so charitable, they will forgive them. They will forgive them on the day of judgment. And the Prophet could, it is within his power to intercede. Well, there are times they say there is no intercession, there is no shafa'ah. Everybody will answer for his deeds, the Wahhabi concept. When it is convenient, it is said no, the Prophet can intercede and he will intercede. Well, we do not know how some of the Muslims stand. Alhamdulillah, we know where we stand. And we discussed last night the right of last year, the right of shafa'ah of Bibi Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. And this year we will talk of the shafa'ah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. However, that shafa'ah, one must see it clearly, is a right given by Allah to the Holy Prophet, to Bibi Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha, and to the A'imma, in particular Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That is a special favor given by Allah, because the ultimate authority is the authority of Allah. He decides who will go to heaven, he decides who will go to hell, and he decides whom he will give the right of shafa'ah. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُوا عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. I recite that ayah because you know it so hard, part of Ayat al-Kursi. Who is there? مَنْ ذَلَّذِي, who is there? Who can make shafa'ah except by express consent, express approval and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here is an angel telling the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, shafa'ah certainly is your right, but it will not be within your that right to make shafa'ah of Yazid on that day or of anybody associated with him in the murder of Hussein. And I am not saying this to you from a Shiite source. It is Khwarizmi setting it out in Maqtal al-Hussein. The third hadith I want to put forward to you is a hadith, but these two had to precede this. A hadith I have already set out on Sunday night, and I will not repeat so that we do not spend time on it. This is a hadith that I cited from Sheikh Tusi alayhi rahmah, and I cited Sheikh Tusi that night because I wanted to say two more things, two more events relating to Asma binti Umais. As you will recall, we discussed them all on Sunday night. And Asma says that when she presented Hussein in that white clothing to the Holy Prophet says, yes, I see you brought Hussein in white clothing, and weeps. And I made a point then on Sunday night that it can't be bid'ah to weep because the Holy Prophet wept. And to weep, therefore, is to follow the sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And there is no Muslim existing today or ever existed who didn't say that following the sunnah of the Prophet is fawab, carries fawab. So indeed, when we weep in following the footsteps of the Holy Prophet, it is a perfectly a religious act, perfectly leading to fawab. However, then the Holy Prophet continues to say more things which we discussed. What is significant and which I want to put forward to you is that Khwarizmi in Maqtal al-Hussein sets out that particular incident. Not the second and the third part that we discussed, but certainly, no, he does set out the second part, the Aqeeqah part. The Aqeeqah part he sets out, and the Sadaqah part he sets that out also. So those two parts are set out by Khwarizmi, but he says something interesting, which I did not cite and I did not find in the hadith of Sheikh Tusi. So Khwarizmi goes further and says that the Holy Prophet told Asma binti Umais that he was told by Jibreel that Hussein alayhi salam will be murdered by Baghiyah. Now, we have discussed that word 2 years back. Baghiyah is a person who is no longer within the compass of Islam. It is a person who has made baghawa, who has made a rebellion and has rebelled from Islam, that is called Baghiyah. And just to remind you, without detaining you on this, because we have discussed this a couple of years back, when a discussion took place in the court of Muawiyah on Malik Ashtar, after Malik Ashtar was killed in Siffin, people turned around to Muawiyah and said, we are very scared about the result of Siffin. And Muawiyah says, why? Why are you scared? We have won that battle. He hadn't. As we've discussed, he hadn't won. So why are you worried? So the companions of the Prophet who were sitting in that particular court turned around to him and said, oh Muawiyah, we know, because we have heard from the Holy Prophet himself, that he said that the person who will kill Malik Ashtar will be a Baghia. In other words, will be a person no longer within the compounds, within the compass of Islam. And that, of course, was very serious. Very serious. And the Holy Prophet said this of Malik Ashtar at a time when that mosque, which stands, alhamdulillah, till today, that mosque of the Holy Prophet, Masjid Nabawi, was being built. And Malik Ashtar was struggling hard in building it. And as he was laying brick after brick, and the Holy Prophet came and said, and wanted to help, and Malik said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, you will not carry a brick. You will not lay a brick. We will do it." The Holy Prophet says, "Malik, Allah will not be pleased with me. He cannot see me just delegating this menial work to you people. I have got to partake." And Malik says, "Ya Rasulullah, I will tell Allah that I had agreed to take your share of the work." This is a Malik Ashtar. And Malik Ashtar, at that time, the Holy Prophet, you can see how emotional the Holy Prophet must have been to hear this, says, "Malik, may Allah give you jaza for this, may He reward you for this. Malik, your greatest reward is that you will be killed fighting in the cause of Allah, fighting with the righteous, and the people who will kill you will be Baghia." That's the word he used, will be people who will have rebelled from Islam. That proves that Malik Ashtar, fighting with Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali, was on the right side, in the words of the Holy Prophet. And that proves that Muawiyah killing Malik Ashtar, his army killing Malik Ashtar in 15, Muawiyah was the Baghia. During the 5 or 6 nights that we shall have another sitting on Mukhtar, we will discuss the fortitude, the courage, the faith of the son of Malik Ashtar, Ibrahim bin Malik Ashtar. And we will be able then to see what a worthy son of a worthy father that was produced in that particular event. However, what is significant is that Khwarizmi says of the murder of Imam Hussein alayhi salam also that he will be killed by a Baghia. And there will be no shafa'ah for him, for all of them. Anybody involved in that murder, there will be no shafa'ah for them on the day of judgment. Well, that again comes from Asma bint Umayr. But the fourth hadith I want to give you is a hadith from Khwarizmi, also in Maqtal al-Husayn. Significant hadith. That hadith, I can give you the facts quickly because it's repetitive of what we have said. The Holy Prophet sitting, Jibreel coming down, and Jibreel saying what will happen to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then Jibreel says, "O Messenger of Allah, if you would like to see, if you would like to get the earth from that place, I can give it to you now. The place where Hussein alayhi salam will be murdered will be called Karbala." And Jibreel stretches his hand and in a few moments comes back and gives in the hands of the Prophet that earth from Karbala. How can anybody now blame us for revering that earth? That is earth that the Holy Prophet was given by Jibreel and given 50 years, over 50 years before the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Jibreel then, and the Holy Prophet wept. When Jibreel saw the Holy Prophet weeping, says, "Ya Rasulullah, let me say to you that those who will be involved in the murder of Hussein will all go to hell. Just as we have already seen, no shafa'ah for them. They will all go to hell for their acts. But they will suffer in this world. And they will suffer in the next world. I will say no more, because in our sittings on the Mukhtar, inshallah, we shall see how each one of them was traced and how each one of them was killed and how torturous their life was all the way through since Karbala to the day of their death. Each one of them, Umar ibn Sa'd, Khuli, Sinan, each one of them who was involved in that murder. La'anatullahi alayhim ajma'in. However, having said that, and this is what I really wanted to inform the youth about, Jibril goes further and says that all these people who will be involved in the murder of Hussein alayhi salam will soon be divided. And all those who will follow them in days to come will remain divided. Their hearts will have differences against each other. I say hearts because that's the word qulub in the hadith. Their hearts will be divided against each other. There will be no unity against them, unity between them at all, and they will remain divided until the day of judgment. Those, shall I say, constitute the 72 firqa of Islam. And this is said by Jibreel to the Holy Prophet. And look at our position today in the world. Muslims are not able to unite. Various councils have been formed. Various conferences take place. And each one of those leaders, and I've noted this with great interest, and I urge the youths to do the same. These laudable speeches that we hear in these conferences from presidents and secretary generals of our Muslim country, all of them talk of unity. All of them talk of the great need today of unity, and immediately they leave their conferences that sit and maneuver and manipulate against each other, helping the cause of the enemies. Indeed, leading Muslim countries today survive on the help of the enemies of Islam. They survive on the help of those who ostensibly are out to crush Islam and seek help from them and keep their armies on their lands and do not wish to cooperate with other Muslims who are their brothers. Our message to them tonight is only one: unite on the cause of Hussein alayhi salam. Because if you unite on the cause of Hussein alayhi salam, the promise of Allah is that then you will not be divided. On the cause of Hussein alayhi salam. Because one sees cracks within our own edifice when we talk of Hussein alayhi salam. Is it necessary to have these majalises? If we have these majalises, is it necessary to weep? Is it necessary to have mouth? Yes, of course. That is fundamental to not only the existence, but to the survival of Islam. Because that alone will save Islam. These majalises will save Islam. And I say that because if we are agreed that it is the martyrdom of Hussein alayhi salam that saved Islam, then it must be, as a corollary, as a large corollary to that, that the remembrance of that martyrdom must, as a corollary, save Islam. And there is no option on that, as far as we know. And this is why I wish to devote time on crying on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and I've reserved Shabbat Ashur for this, if Allah wills. We have a logical discussion of that particular aspect. And it is no contradiction to say a logical discussion, even if it is an emotional issue, because emotions are based on logic too, as we shall discuss on that particular night. Well, Jibreel brings this news that the punishment that will flow on them is that they will be divided. And they are divided today. They are divided today. And you can see that they are divided. When we go on to Makkah, when we go to Makkah, we see that they are divided amongst themselves too, to the extent that one firqa will call another firqa kafir. And when I heard this from an Arab, I was shocked. I said to him, he can't be a kafir, even if he is not, and I do not wish to name it, but he is not of your firqa, he is not of your following. He is still a Muslim because he has the shahadatain. He said, yes, but those shahadatain are not complete. When I say the shahadatain are not complete because you must say Aliyun Waliyullah, I am told that one is not important. When just a branch of religion is not complied with, this criticism becomes valid. That division exists, my dear brothers and sisters, because Hussein's spirit does not exist. And I do not say this because Shiite books say so. We get it from Sunnite source, saying the source saying that Jibreel said this to the Holy Prophet. And then I wish to rush to three hadith, and I wish to take them together so that I complete them before the clock stops me, on Bibi Salma. Now, I want to discuss those hadith because to us, that hadith bears great significance, that when Imam Hussain alayhi salam leaves Medina and bids farewell to Umm Salama, says, "Oh grandmother, I am now going." And of course they both wept. And of course they both were extremely emotional about it. And Umm Salama says, "Hussain, my son, go where you want to go. Do not go to Karbala." So Imam Hussain says, "Granny, why do you say that?" And she says, "Your grandfather told me they will kill you if you go to Karbala." And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, "Oh grandmother, my grandfather has told you, and that is exactly where I am going, because that is my destination. Sha Allah an yarani qatila. It is in the decree of Allah that he should see me martyred and murdered in that way." And Umm Salama left for a minute and brought that bottle of earth that the Holy Prophet had given her, and said, "Hussain, then from today I'll keep watching these bottles, and the day the earth turns to blood, I will know that you have been murdered. We keep saying this. Is this an exaggeration? Is there a reality on this? There are numerous ahadith, but there is no opportunity to set them all out to you. But at least three ahadith I wish to put to you from different sources. The first from Ibn Asakir in Tarjuma, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, min tarikh Madinat al-Dimashq. He sets out this particular hadith of Umm Salama and says that the Holy Prophet gave that particular earth to Umm Salama, and the Holy Prophet told Umm Salama that, "Oh Umm Salama, when my son Hussain goes to Karbala," because the Holy Prophet always referred to Imam Hussain alayhi salam as his son, "goes to Karbala, look at this particular bottle. Look at the earth in this bottle. The day he turns blood, that moment you must know that he has been martyred." This is in Sunnite sources. And as if it is not enough to quote to you Ibn Asakir, I want to quote to you Ahmad bin Hanbal, that leader of the Hanbali sect. And the Wahhabi today comes from that Hanbali sect. Their ultimate original source is Ahmad bin Hanbal. And Ahmad bin Hanbal, in his leading work, Musnad, sets out this particular hadith of Ibn Salama, and says Ibn Salama has reported, and that report comes authentically because he sets out his asnad in showing that that report is an authentic report, saying that the Holy Prophet said that Jibreel brought that earth to him 50 years ago. And it is amazing. It is amazing that the Holy Prophet, according to that particular hadith, is supposed to have, when he receives that earth from Jibreel, he smells the earth and then says, "I can smell the blood of my son Hussein in this earth." This is long before the blood of Hussein was mixed with the earth of Karbala. What exaggeration can we be accused of when we revere that piece of earth which the Holy Prophet revered and treated with such respect? Musnad says that then the Holy Prophet gave bit of it to Umm Salama and said, "Umm Salama, preserve this." How can anyone blame me for preserving Khak Shafa, for preserving the earth of Karbala, the earth from the turba of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, from the grave of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Well, that is Ahmad bin Hanbal in Musnad. And you find that particular hadith also carried forward by Muhibbuddin Tabari in Zakhairul Uqba. I quoted Zakhairul Uqba on the first night, if you remember, when I said that Tabari there says only two people were born on 6 months pregnancy, Isa ibn Maryam and Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. And we discussed Yahya ibn Zakariya in that context. That Tabari says that when this earth was brought, the Holy Prophet wept. Umm Salama comes in at the time, thinking the revelation was over, and it was over. Seeing the Prophet wept, she asks him, "Why are you weeping?" The Holy Prophet sets out the message of Karbala to Umm Salama. In other words, holds that majlis as we are holding a majlis today, the Holy Prophet being the Zakir himself, and he weeps, and Umm Salama weeps. Imam Rawa, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says, asked about the majlis of Imam Hussein, he says, you need only two people to hold the majlis of Imam Hussein, one being the zakir and one the listener, both having sawab. And then says, if two are not available, one is enough. Take the book of Marthiya, recite the Marthiya yourself. Weep on Imam Hussein. That constitutes the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. These are dedicated words of Imam Rawa alayhi salam. However, all that set out by Muhibbuddin Tabari in his Zakhairul Uqba. But I leave that to rush to another hadith I want to give you. And this comes from Khwarizmi again in Maqtalul Hussain. He says the Holy Prophet was once sitting when suddenly he says Jibreel comes. This time he does not come alone. He comes with a group of angels. And the Holy Prophet says, now what special message from Allah that Jibreel is not allowed to come and bring to me singly. He comes with this group of angels. Today we know it is no wonder, but that day it was a wonder. And when Jibreel comes down, he says to the Holy Prophet, Allah has sent me to send you special condolences. Condolences which I was not regarded enough to convey to you. And hence I have come with my companions. So the Holy Prophet says, what grief is this about? And Jibreel says, a great grief to you, Ya Rasulullah, that your Hussein will be murdered by people who will claim to be Muslims by tongue, but will not be Muslims in their hearts. This is Jibreel's taking. They will murder Hussein alayhi salam, and for them there will be no salvation. And of course, need I say, the Holy Prophet wept and wept and wept. Having wept, the Holy Prophet, this is Khwarizmi Ibn Asakir saying, not Shaktusi, the Holy Prophet lifts his hands and pray to Allah, says, Allahumma akhzul man khadal al-Husayn. Do not help him who would not help Hussein. I keep asking, on the day of Ashura, what is the meaning, because I haven't understood it till today, what is the meaning of that call by Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Hal min nasirin yansuruna? Is there anybody who will help us? I asked you last night, nobody has answered me because there is no answer. I asked you, why didn't Shimr give water to Imam Hussein alayhi salam? What, and why did Imam Hussein alayhi salam ask for that water? He wouldn't have drunk it. My conscience tells me for sure, and I gave you my reasons in the side. He wouldn't have drunk it. Why did he ask for it? Likewise, I asked tonight, Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not want to live. Akbar had gone, Qasim had gone, Abu Muhammad had gone, Anwar had gone. Would Hussein wanted to survive? Yet he says, Hal min nasirin yansuruna? Is there anybody who wants to help? And nobody did. The Holy Prophet says, I do not see there will be time for another hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam that I wanted to put to you, but another occasion inshallah. But to say this, that the Holy Prophet says on that night that he who does not help Hussein alayhi salam, oh Allah, do not help him. And the second prayer from him is, kill him. Kill him who kills Hussein alayhi salam. And thirdly, his prayer is, do not let the desires of those who kill Hussein alayhi salam to be achieved. And so, Umar ibn Sa'ad would not have got the governorship of Ra'i. He would not have got his million Ashrafis. He would not have got the daughter of Yazid in marriage. And he didn't. As we shall see, on the contrary, he was involved in rigors of battle after battle all his life till he died. Till he was killed by Muqtada's orders. However, those are the prayers of the Holy Prophet. Do not help, and today that call stands. Today Imam Hussein alayhi salam calls for help. Only help he needs is survival of Islam. The only help he needs is to make sure that Islam prospers and Islam makes progress in this world of today. And what glory do I say there is today the Majlis of Hussein, not only in Mumbai. Mumbai is proud to be one of those first organizations to hold majalis in the world, organize majalis in our secular societies, in the way of a jama'at. Today, there are centers around the world. In London alone, we have 12 centers. And now there is majalis in Germany, majalis in French, in France. There is majalis in Swedish language in Sweden. And there is madness in numerous centers in America. This is the grace of Allah on Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because that message has to continue to be served. And Jibreel and the Holy Prophet prays, do not help him who does not help Hussein. Kill him who will kill Hussein. Thirdly, do not allow the wishes of those who kill Hussein to be fulfilled in this world. As Jibreel said in the earlier hadith, they will not succeed in this world. And in the hereafter, there will be just hell for them. Fi dunya khizyun wa fil akhirati adab. Well, the hadith is not finished there. Says then the Holy Prophet goes on a short trip. And when he goes on a short trip, he pauses at a place. And when he pauses at a place, he recites, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. People ask him, what is it that makes you recite that ayah of Quran, which is recited when you talk of death? And the Holy Prophet comes back to Medina, and when he comes back to Medina, he then sets out the entire episode from the minbar. He needed to make a khutbah, he made the khutbah. Hussein comes, he calls him up, sits him on his lap on the minbar. Having finished his khutbah, he then spreads his hands over the head of Hussein and sets out the story of Karbala well in advance. He sets out the story of Karbala in advance. And when the Holy Prophet set out that story of Karbala in advance, and this is the important point I wanted to make before we close tonight, not only did the Holy Prophet wept, all the Sahaba sitting in that Masjid al-Nabawi, they also wept. If the important thing today is not only the Sunnah of the Prophet, but the Sunnah of the Sahaba, then Ibn Asakir in Maktab al-Hussein says that all those Sahaba sat in that mosque under the minbar of the Holy Prophet, and all of them wept and wept aloud. Where is the bid'ah? The companions also had wept on Hussein alayhi salam, as set out in the Sunnah source long before the event happened. And the Holy Prophet said that those who will kill Hussein alayhi salam or will partake in it directly or indirectly will not receive my shafa'ah on the day of judgment. Allah will not fulfill their wishes in this world, and they will proceed to hell straight away. The hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, again reported in Waqiyat al-Siffin, Sunnah book, Waqiyat al-Siffin reports this particular hadith, and I wanted to be quick enough at least to set out one hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, and it comes from Hadrami. Hadrami was a Sunnite person, not lover of Ahlul Bayt, but he was married to a lady who was a staunch lover of Ahlul Bayt, a staunch Shia. And he went to Siffin to fight with Imam Ali alayhi salam only because he was in Kufa, and everybody in Kufa went to fight with Imam Ali alayhi salam, so did he. When he comes back, he says to his wife, do you want me to tell you a very strange story about that leader of yours whom you love so much? And the wife immediately knew that he wanted to taunt her about Imam Ali alayhi salam. But she was a Shia. She wanted to know what it was. And we Shias are so used to these taunts. They make our life. She turns around and says, "What is it this time?" And he says, "When we were coming back from Siffin, we came to a place. It was Karbala. We stopped at that particular spot in Karbala. And Ali alayhi salam sat down and wept. And when he wept, companions around him wept. And then he was asked about it. And he says, here will be martyred, a group of people who will go to heaven directly. Who will go to heaven directly, without any questioning." Well, we now have both the sides of the coin. We have that which says they will go straight to hell. Here is a hadith which says they will go straight to heaven. So the lady says, "Well, what about that hadith then?" And she says, "How does Ali know? Does he have ilmul ghayb? Does he know who will go to heaven directly? How does he come to know this? How is he competent to say this?" And the lady says, "Leave it. Leave your story. My Mawla says nothing which is not haq. Anything that he says will be haq. And you and I will live to see that it is haq." And she leaves it at that. And how true her words come to. A day arrives when Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad in Kufa now, where Imam Ali alayhi salam was the Khalif, now Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the governor of Yazid, turns around and says, "Everybody joins the army, we're going to Karbala. He who does not join the army will be killed." This is how Ubaydullah behaved, and this is how he acted. So that army moves to Karbala, and so does this man. When he comes to Karbala, he sees exactly the spot where Imam Ali alayhi salam had stopped from Siffin. He sees exactly the spot where Imam Ali alayhi salam and his companions waited and wept. And having seen this, he remembered those words of Imam Ali alayhi salam saying that those who will be martyred here will go straight to heaven. Now he is not able to decide whether to remain in the side of Ubaydullah or not, and yet too cowardly to take the decision that he must leave Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and follow the camp of Imam Hussein, now that he has proof that what Imam Ali alayhi salam talked 20 years ago, 25 years ago, has come so true. Yet he does not have the courage. Yet he finds it impossible to remain where he is. So he goes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at these people. He goes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam for advice and says, "Ya Rasulullah, 25 years back from Siffin, I witnessed all this. What do you tell me about it?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Where do you stand? Are you with me or are you against me?" And we shall come to this question in a couple of nights again. Are you with me or are you against me? You will shiver to hear the answer this man gives. But it is true that people like him live today in millions. And his answer was, "Ya Ibn Rasulillah, I am neither with you nor against you." We shall discuss this, inshallah, tomorrow night. I am neither with you nor against you. What does that mean? And what does it mean to Imam Hussein alayhi salam? And that is the answer, the answer the youth receives. These are matters of religion, they say. The youth says to our youth, "These are matters of religion. We don't have to interfere with it. We neither side Hussein, nor do we side Yazid. Why do I have to do matam on the night of Ashura? And why do I have to praise Yazid? I will do neither." Not sufficient. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam hears this and says, "What do you propose to do? Either join me now, or if you do not have the good luck, the good fortune of joining me, leave Karbala now. Because the Holy Prophet has said that he who will witness Hussein in trouble and will not help Hussein will straight go to hell." Hadith that I just quoted to you. Will straight go to hell. So my advice to you is that if you do not want to join me, I do not need your help, nor am I asking you to join me. Go, but go straight out of Karbala. Do not be here to listen to my call. Hal min nasirin yansuruna. The absolute contrary to that, the absolute opposite was Hur ibn Riyahi. Hur kept on telling Umar ibn Sa'd, Umar, you must reach agreement with Hussein. If you do not reach agreement with Hussein, we will suffer in this world, and more importantly, in the world to come. He is the true grandson of the Holy Prophet. Truth lies with him. Wouldn't Hur know? He would know, because as we shall discuss, not tomorrow night, but in about 3 nights from today, we shall discuss the discussions that took place between him and Imam Hussein alayhi salam when they met at Dhu Hisn. And from there on to Karbala, he had the fortunate company of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And when Shab-e Ashur comes, his bodyguard says that when I saw Hur, he was trembling and shivering. I go round to him and say, Hur, I have never seen you shivering. You are perhaps the most valiant of all warriors that I know. You in this state. And his answers are memorable words. He says, tonight, I see myself between heaven and hell, and I have to choose where heaven lies. Goes to Umar ibn Sa'd and says, oh Umar, is there any hope of settlement with Hussein? And Umar says, no, Hur, there is no hope of settlement with Hussein. Tomorrow at dawn, the battle will start with Hussein. And Hur turns his back to Umar and goes away. Umar ibn Sa'd realizes that Hur is turning his back to me, says, Hur, no commander of mine is superior to you. What is happening to you? Hur turns around and repeats those exact words to Umar ibn Sa'd. How many opportunities did Umar ibn Sa'd have to come back to Hussein? In Mukhtar, perhaps we shall discuss that. Turns to Umar ibn Sa'd and says, Umar, I see myself between heaven and hell. Moves out and takes his horse that very night, but goes to his son Ali and says, oh Ali, I see where heaven, I have to decide my between heaven and hell. I see heaven lies in the camp of Hussein, not in the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd. And I am going, my advice to you, my wasiya to you, O my son, is you two join me and the son join me. And when Hur reaches near the camp of Imam Hussein, how is Hur now? How is Hur now to meet Imam Hussein alayhi salam? He was the one who brought Hussein here. He was the one who caused himself to hear that night the cries of the little ones. Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Thirst, oh thirst, little children crying for water. They had no water for so many days. Hur hearing that, dismounts from his horse, tells his son, oh Ali, tie my hands with your handkerchief. He puts himself in chains, ties my feet with the handkerchief, and moves on his two hands and two legs to Hur Hussein. The character of Hussein that we have already examined sees Hur doing this from a distance, says, Abbas, my guest is coming. Go and receive him, but do not bring him to me with his hands tied. Abbas, I delegate this word to you. Go and untie that handkerchief from his hands. Hur must come to me as a free man, not as a person whose hands and feet are tied. And when Abbas says, no, who says, Abbas, how can I come to your master in that way? I am the one who brought him here. With what faith do I reach him unless I am tied in this way? Abbas says, Hur, I understand your sentiment. These are the orders from my master. I can't disobey them. Opens up that, calls up, held Hur with his hand. Oh, Hur, what dignity with which you go to Hussein? Because with what dignity does one go to heaven? Abbas holding your hand and moving your, leading him to Hussein. Hussein standing up and embracing Hur, says, Hur, don't do this. Hur says, How else can I do this? And Imam Hussein says, I have forgiven you fi dunya wal akhirah. And then uses memorable words, says, Hur anta hurrun fi dunya wal akhirah. You are now free in this world and in the world to come. And indeed, Hur goes and fights those opponents. Says to them, O infidels, I have left that army. I am not only preaching without practicing, I am myself practicing. Come and fight with me as you have always fought with me. You will go to heaven. Remain with Umar ibn Khattab, you will go to hell. They instead throw arrows at Hur. So many arrows that Hur falls. Hussein now comes to the body of Hur and says, Hur, you came saying you were ashamed. Hur, you are leaving at the time when I am telling you I am ashamed. Hur, you came as my guest. You came as my guest. I did not even give you water. I had no food, Hur, to give you. I had not even water to give you when you came to me. And now you are leaving me. But I will see you in heaven. But Hur, as you go, I will give you one gift. Hur's forehead was profusely bleeding with blood. Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes out the handkerchief sewn by Bibi Fatima al-Zahra ties the handkerchief on that forehead of Hur. Blood stops oozing. Says, Hur, go with this handkerchief. This handkerchief will take you there. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون رحم الله من يكر الفاتحة.